What an amazing week we have had. Yes, absolutely. You know, each year, I'm just so in awe and thankful for the faithfulness of God. You know, because you never know. You do all the setup and you get everything put into place. And you know, first of all, bringing the kids. You know, we talked where our numbers were, and it's not about numbers. It's whoever's here is here, but we ended up with 91 kids here, so that's amazing. And, you know, just God's faithfulness. You know, after the first day, we were saying, I don't think we had ever had a smoother first day. You know, just everyone working in their gifts and you know, just feeling God's pleasure. That's how I would summarize it. Just feeling God's pleasure on this entire week and seeing so many people lay down their lives and just with a servant's heart and be here and seeing the smiles on the kids' faces. Just an incredible week. So I want to thank everybody here, everyone that participated, whatever that looked like, whether you were here this week, whether you were here last Saturday building, whether you donated something, whether you're going to stay after church today and help tear everything down. Whatever it is, the role that you played, or even most importantly, that you prayed for this week. So your prayers were heard, our prayers were heard, and God again, has shown himself to be faithful and true and good. Aaron's going to share a little bit.
So last Sunday, we had the opportunity to read our mission statement, which is in our bulletin. And one of the things is... that I watched is the strengthening of relationships. It is so, I said to Mike, I said, this whole VBS, do I say it, was kind of easy. It was hard work, but it was smooth because the unity was so, everybody knew their role, everybody owned their job. It was so amazing. So before, I'm going to kind of do the bookend of this, but I asked two gals from the field to come and share. They were leaders all week and poured their lives out. Come on up, girls. Woo! Okay, we'll have Naomi go first.
Excuse my voice. I think I lost it at VBS. At VBS this week, I saw God pull everyone together in a very special way. Not only all the leaders, but I also feel like God brought me closer to many of the adults. I can't think of any other event at our church that unifies us all quite like VBS does. It is an honor to follow such great leaders like Aaron and Mike, but during this week, it's so fun to lead alongside them. There are so many different teams at VBS, but we all have the same goal of teaching all the kids about Christ. Each morning, all us leaders gather in the donut room before all the kids arrive. These mornings were so impactful and so necessary for pumping us all up and getting us focused. Aaron and Mike would pray for us and give us tips and would fill our buckets up each day. Side note, I kind of wish Aaron and Mike would come to my house every morning and get me that pumped up for school. Those morning meetings also involved team testimonies, like one morning where another girl named Naomi shared her story. It was so powerful to see God's grace work in her life. There are so many more stories I could tell. I'm just so thankful for VBS.
Thanks, Nene.
Hello. Okay. So I always get excited about VBS, and our job as leaders is to pour out our hearts, excitement, and joy onto the kids. It's selfless service all week, but what I realized was that as we poured out, we were poured back into. So many things happened this week that fell into place as if God was showing that his relationship with us is real. He did this through our community, our relationships, and our experiences with each other. I feel so proud and blessed to be part of this VBS and this church. It has been so fun to spend time with your kids this week, whether they were leaders or campers.
Yeah. Good job. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, girls. So I'm going to just close, kind of wrap it up in this, but I had two comments, one from parents that said, wow, your leaders really seem like they care. They're not just like little sidekicks in a group. They're empowered to lead, and they like know our kids. And I don't know who it was. It might have been one of the girls that was up here, but during the show, there was a dad in the hall with their baby, and somebody, one of the girls went up and said, "Can I hold your baby for you so you can enjoy the show?" And he went, "What?" I mean, I told them, the kids, the 40 to flexing to 50 sometimes kids we had back there, them being kind, respectful, honoring, serving blows the lid off of my heart. And it's counter to the culture. I never once had to tell one of them to get off their phones, ever. They were so engaged. And if you know this generation, that's a big temptation. And they were engaged, and I just am so thankful. And what I love most is the kids in our group are now in our group here, and they're loving on our kids in the same way. So thankful. It was an amazing week, and looks like we're getting ready for something. So I'm going to close this up. It's like the hook. Great week.
So that was a little snapshot of the week. Am I on? Getting this? Great. You know, I have to admit, I made that slideshow on my iPhone. And you can probably tell because the only people that were in more pictures than Kate and Lucy was me. So I don't know what that means. I didn't do it on purpose. Just watching, I was like, man, I'm in quite a few of these. But honestly, my favorite picture, so many amazing pictures that, again, give you a little vision of the week. But I love the one of the little kid holding up that cloth and putting it on the cross, which was the activity we did on Thursday. The cloth was burlap, and it just represented our sin and our mistakes and all the things and our selfishness and just laying it on the cross. And I just love that because that was a picture of really what the week was about and these kids running up to do that. So I love that one. But again, thank you again. Just such an amazing week. Every year at VBS that we use, there's a theme, obviously shipwrecked, but then there's always a little tagline part of it. And this year, as you can see, it is rescued by Jesus. That was basically what it was about, with the shipwreck scene being on a deserted island, all of this. So rescued by Jesus. And we had the opportunity to pray this morning about the fires that are going on. And just this sense of, and it's really making me think as I was praying about what to share on, that word being rescued, to be rescued. And to be rescued, we need to see that there is a need, that we are trapped, that we are stranded, that we need to be rescued. There was a story a couple weeks ago that I'm sure a lot of us followed. I know I did. I'll just read what it was. On Saturday, June 23rd, a group of 12 boys between the ages of 11 and 16 went with their 25-year-old soccer coach to explore a cave in northern Thailand cave system. As they entered, rain picked up, and the rising water trapped them inside. The group of 13 was missing for 9 days before they were discovered by two British divers. Who is familiar with this story of the soccer team trapped inside these caves in Thailand? I think we have a picture of them inside the caves. So just exploring, going inside, just adventure and the windy caves, but it was monsoon season. And I think they were warned, you know, rain fills up pretty quickly in there, water fills up pretty quickly. And as they're in, for those that aren't familiar, the rain just hit. And within hours, flooding the cave system, and they couldn't get out. They were 2.5 miles inside that cave. And going down, up, windy, and all the way through. And something that I, you know, really hit me was how dark it must have been in there. You know, I know they had probably had cell phones and things, but they didn't last too long. You know, the batteries, and with the monsoon season coming. So they were missing. And then two British divers going into those caves, the bravery of those two guys, not certain if they're going to be in there, finding them in the back, huddled on a rock like that. So now the question was, how do we rescue them? How do they get them out? And so many mastermind people coming together and trying to think of a way how to get these these kids out of this cave. They talked about drilling down, about doing that. The other option was to leave them in there for several months, obviously staying in there with them and bringing them food and pumping air through there because the oxygen in there was getting depleted. So that was one of the first things they did, was bring in fresh oxygen and get supplying food and water. So that was one option, to leave them in the cave for up to 4 or 5 months when the monsoon season is over and then go get them. But they knew that probably wasn't the best. The other option was to go in and get them and dive them out under the water and where they would need scuba equipment and all this. So that is what they decided to do, was to go in and dive them out. And I'll read. It says, "What stood between the boys and the outside world, however, was about 1.5 miles of muddy chambers, half-flooded canals, and fully submerged sections. The longest of the submerged sections was 350 meters, the length of 7 Olympic-sized swimming pools. When Major Charles Hodges of the United States Air Force Special Tactics Officer was asked the probability of success of getting these kids out, he said, "I think we can probably realistically save 60 to 70% of the kids. I expect anywhere from 3 to 5 to die in this operation." So the seriousness of it, the hopefulness, but also the reality of how hard it would be. An elite foursome of British divers were each tasked with bringing out the boys one at a time. So that was their plan. Go in, guys that are fully trained in this, to bring out kids. I've never scuba dived. I've snorkeled, okay? But scuba diving, that's a whole other thing. You know, it's a training that you need. These kids have never had that training. So to have the oxygen mask, and there were such dangers. They're going through darkness. It was dark for the divers going in to get them. And all they have to do is bump into something, and they hit their mask, and water comes flooding in. You know, that's what happened. One of the divers lost his life in this rescue attempt. His mouthpiece fell out. So why am I saying this? Why am I talking about this rescue attempt? I really think the picture of this amazing rescue is a picture of what Jesus has done for each of us and what he's doing for each of us in our lives, of his rescue of us, rescued by Jesus, that we have been rescued by Jesus. First is the seeking of so many people, brave men and women, to go find them, to go get them, to brave the waters and go in. I wanted to read from Matthew 18, 12 through 14. Jesus says, "What do you think? If any man has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go and search for the one that is straying? If it turns out that he finds it, truly I say to you, he rejoices over it more than over the 99 which have not gone astray. So it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones perish." Jesus seeks us out. He leaves the 99 to find us, to come in and rescue us. We are here and we are pursuing God because he first is pursued us. And he's coming and to rescue us. So it is God who seeks us, who doesn't leave us stranded. So in our salvation, but also in our lives, with the things that we're going through, the difficult times in our life, that God is faithful to seek us, to help when we call on him. He seeks out the lost. One cool thing, 4 Thai Navy SEALs and a military medic made the hazardous trip to be at the boys' sides for the entire ordeal. They stayed in there with them the whole time. We have a God who is with us in our trials. He doesn't leave us. He doesn't stand at the finish line just cheering us on. You know, he is a God who gets into, who's in the race with us. He gets into the pit with us. It can be so easy to fall into just seeing him off and distant and saying, "Come on, you can do it." But no, he's with us in it. He's comforting us. Hebrews 4, verses 14 through 16. "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That God is faithful to meet us where we are, wherever we are, and be our strength in those times. We talked about life preservers during this week. So many visuals that we have on the stage that we can use. You know, there's a phrase that says, that'll preach. You know, that'll preach, that'll preach. So you hear these things. I mean, to me, this story of this Thai soccer team, that'll preach. You know, that there's truth in that we can bring to the Lord and his word. But a life preserver, you know, I told the kids, it doesn't have a little engine that gets you out of the water. It doesn't lift you up and fly you to shore. It doesn't. It just upholds you. It upholds you in the waves. While you are in the waves and weak and struggling, it holds you up. And so God, sometimes he will rescue us out, but sometimes his faithfulness is to support us in the difficult times, to get us through it, to uphold us in it. Without the life preserver, you know, we would come to the end of our strength and sink. You know, so it's the life preserver that holds us up. And it is God who is faithful in those times to uphold us in those difficult times that we are in. One of the coolest things about this, I'm imagining these kids, you know, if anyone has any type of claustrophobia, just the idea of going through these caverns underwater with a mask, I mean, the trust and faith that you must have in these guys that are pulling you through and you can't talk, you can't, I mean, it could be so easy to panic. And that was obviously a fear, that these kids would panic, start kicking and flailing, and that was one of the biggest fears, especially for the 350-meter trek through of dark waters. So what they did, does anyone know, they sedated them. They came in there and they sedated the kids. They each one at a time, and they gave them an injection, I don't remember what it was called, and they're asleep. They're asleep through this whole ordeal as they're getting pulled through. And one of the stories, the first kid, when the guys went in to get him, while they're sitting there, they came up with an order of who's going first. They did it on their own. Like, you're going first, I'm going second. You know, they had this whole order of who was going to go once they realized this was the course. And it was a 13-year-old boy who was going to go first. So he's going through. Halfway through, he starts to wake up a little bit. Fortunately, they were not in a submerged part. So the soldier with them, carrying him this whole way, had to give him another injection, keeping it dry, and went back to sleep, coming through. So this idea of the need to be sedated. I think God could do a lot more with us if we were more sedated. You know? I think we kick and scream a lot. I think he would love to just inject us and we're out and he can have his way. Right? But what do? We resist. You know, we hold on to things that we don't want to let go of. We kick, oh, that's going to hurt. And we kick and scream. And we need to have that surrender, that complete surrender to the Father to work his way in our hearts, to work his way in our life. I think C.S. Lewis does a picture of the mold of the clay on a potter's wheel. You know, it's only the soft, pliable clay that he can do something with. The hard, lumpy clay, he can't do as much with. So we need to have that surrender. The picture of surgery. It's good that we're asleep during surgeries. You know, we need to be. So the doctor can have his way. So they were completely sedated going through this. And another picture. So we have Jesus seeking us out to come and rescue us. We have Jesus comforting us as the divers stayed in that chamber with them. We have our job of just being sedated and just being completely surrendered to Him and His will and letting Him have His way. The other thing that spoke to me is the picture of this soldier. Each boy had four soldiers with him, but I think one did most of the work. Just the picture of that soldier carrying this kid through the water and then up in the boulders and the caves that weren't submerged. They weren't dealing with water, but they're dealing with rocks and boulders and carrying this kid through and then back into water. You know, just that picture of God upholding us, of God carrying us in our life. He's doing it all the time. We completely are dependent on Him to carry us, uphold us. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 30 and 31 says, "The Lord your God, who goes before you, will Himself fight on your behalf, just as He did for you in Egypt before your eyes, and in the wilderness where you saw how the Lord your God carried you, just as a man carries his son, in all the way which you have walked until you came to this place." You know, I saw the Prince of Egypt, the cartoon version of Moses, and I've seen, who's the most famous guy? Charlton Heston. I didn't see God carrying them out of Egypt. I saw Him going before them, you know, a cloud by day and a fire by night. But no, He's saying, "I am the Lord your God who carried you." And we don't realize it. He carries us. He's carrying us right now in what we're doing. Aaron and I, you know, we can testify to this, you know, with everything that's happened with Cade, our son. If you'd have told us before the road we were about to take, before all this, I would have said, no way. Cannot do that. Way too much. I cannot handle that. Brain tumor and a stroke and recovering from all of that. But the second, sitting in front of the MRI image and seeing this tumor the size of an egg, honestly, we can both testify, we felt God's strength right then, just lifting us up. And He has been the whole way through. And I think, you know, the famous footsteps prayer when you're walking down the beach and you see two footsteps, but then in the difficult times there's only one pair of footsteps, and He gets angry, "Lord, why did you abandon me during those hard times?" He said, "I didn't abandon you, I was carrying you during those times." So He's carrying us, whether we know it or not. He is. That's the thing. You know? That's why I think we should be thankful in tribulations. You know, that's something I never totally understood. That's hard to do. I fake that. I fake it. Because He tells me to be thankful, so I'll be thankful. Okay? But the truth is, the good that we've seen come out of it, thank you. Thank you. There's so much good that we see and so many opportunities that we've had that we wouldn't be able to have if not for it. But thank you, Lord, because whether I know it or not, you are carrying me right now. You are upholding me in this trial. And it's in those trials that we depend on Him. And that's why we're thankful. We're thankful for those trials because it's then that we rely on Him. Isaiah 46, verses 3 and 4. "Listen to me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, you who have been born by me from birth and have been carried from the womb. Even to your old age, I will be the same. And even to your graying years, I will bear you. I have done it, and I will carry you, and I will bear you, and I will deliver you." He is upholding us in good times and difficult times. I love the song that we just sang. "I need you how I need you. I need you every hour. Lord, I need you." Duke prayed it. I need you every hour. There are things that we would all admit, I need God for this. But you know something? We need Him for everything. We need Him for those things that are our natural gifts. It's so easy to leave Him at the door and just do it in our own gifting, our own strength. But to rely on Him, difficult times and good times, to know that He is upholding you. It's a good place to be. And being surrendered to Him helps. And that's how He gets the glory, isn't it? That's how God gets the glory for these things. We're not doing it in our own strength. We're not patting ourselves on the back. Spoiler, they get out. Okay, the kids all get rescued, and I'll show you that at the end. But I don't think any of those kids, this 13-year-old boy, when he was first out, he did not get up and just start, hey, I'm the man, I did it. Look what I just did. Look, I just overcame this thing. No. What was he feeling? I would imagine that every one of these boys is feeling to this day unbelievable gratitude, just thankfulness. Thank you to these soldiers, these men, these brave men and women who got them out. I think the rest of their life is you know, gravy from here on out, you know, that just to live in that thankfulness. So he gets the glory. There's not much room for pride when we realize that when we are trusting in him and knowing that he is carrying us. And I think the biggest thing when we're in these trials and those boys on that ledge, I would imagine there was some praying happening. You know, I really do. I know there were prayers from people who heard the story. I was praying for them. You know, there are certain stories that speak to us a little bit more. This one really got to me when I heard about it, just the thought of such a simple thing. They're right in there talking to them. You know, all these soldiers, and now they have lights in there, but to get them out, just to get them out. So just hope. And when we hear rescued by Jesus, we have people in our lives that need to be rescued. They need to be rescued. They're on a deserted island. They're in a cave in darkness. They don't even know it. They don't even realize that they need to be rescued. You know? So he is our hope. Here's our hope that those people would see that they need to be rescued. You know, we hope that God would open up their eyes and see that they need him, that they are trapped, that they need to be rescued. We've all been in that place. And then for the difficult times in our life, that's, I think, what separates us, that as followers of the Lord, when we go through those hard times, when we're in our caves of life, on our islands, what we have that a lot of people don't is hope. When you have Jesus, you have hope. Hope that there's going to be purpose in whatever it is you're going through. And then hope for that he's going to bring you out of it. That he can bring you out of it. And just knowing that he can bring you out of it gives us hope that if he doesn't, there's a reason. You know, there's a reason why. You know, if he could rescue us just like that, whatever it is. And if he doesn't, then it's why. And that's almost like, okay, God, so what are you going to do with this? You know, it's almost a little bit of excitement of how he's going to use whatever the trial is that we're in. If he's not taking you that route of rescuing you right away, but he's upholding you through it, all right, God, what are you going to do? So that's exciting. So I wanted to read from Matthew 8. It's the centurion soldier. And when Jesus entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, imploring him and saying, Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, fearfully tormented. Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. But the centurion said, Lord, I am not worthy for you to come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority with soldiers under me. And I will say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my slave, do this, and he does it. Now when Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who were following, truly I say to you, I have not found such great faith with anyone in Israel. I say to you that many will come from east and west and recline at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said to the centurion, go, it shall be done for you as you have believed. And the servant was healed that very moment. The trip from home to Jesus, hope. I would imagine he's filled with hope. You know, lowering the man through the ceiling, you know, down into the waters. Hope. Hope that God is gonna move and do what only he can do. As believers, we have that hope. So rescued by Jesus. I think ultimately, the On the cross, we were rescued by Jesus. When he came and willfully went to the cross and died and took our punishment and our sins upon himself, the consequences that we deserve on himself, we were rescued. That was the rescue plan. Then I think most of us can point to that day where we accepted, where we said, Lord, you know, I believe. So in one sense, that was our rescue day. We were rescued that day when we came to that faith in him. But also, the rescue mission, in many ways, is still happening. He's still rescuing us. He's not rescuing us for salvation. That's a done deal. By what Jesus did on the cross, we're not earning our salvation. It is finished. His death on the cross, we are rescued. We have come from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. We cannot add or take away from that. But this process of sanctification is a rescue in and of itself, rescuing us from ourselves, the cleansing of our hearts, conforming us into the image of his Son. That is a daily thing. So knowing that he is upholding us and having that surrendered heart to him so he can have his way in our hearts. I think we have a picture of the boys. Next one. There they are. They look pretty thankful, pretty happy. So Jesus rescues. He is faithful. He is faithful to pursue us, to comfort us, to uphold us. Our job is to trust and surrender and let him have his way in our hearts. And then watch what he's going to do and let him continue to be your hope. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness, God. Thank you that you do not leave us. Lord, thank you that you seek us, Lord, that you are seeking each one of us right now. Lord, in the entire time that you are seeking us, we are in the palm of your hand as we seek you, Lord. So, God, help us to wait for you. Help us to surrender to you, Lord, as you have your way in our lives and in our hearts. Lord, help us to be thankful in those hard times, knowing that you are upholding us right now, Lord. You carry us out of the pit. You get into the pit with us. You get into the cave with us, and you carry us out. You're not waiting on the other side just to see how we do it. And as a judge, you are in there with us, Lord, helping us. So, Lord, help us to rely on you more for that, for our daily sanctification, Lord, to rely on you, Lord. You get all the glory. Lord, we thank you for this amazing week. God, thank you for the kids, Lord, that heard your truth, and for the older kids that heard, and the adults as well. Lord, we pray seeds have been planted in hearts this week. We pray that you are still continuing to speak to these kids, Lord, that it would never just be, oh, just a fun camp, Lord, but seeds have been planted for your kingdom, Lord, for eternity in each one of these. We thank you for them. Lord, we cannot wait to hear the stories of their lives when they come back, Lord, to hear what you have done in their hearts. So we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your mercies, Lord. It was such a great week. And we just give you all the glory in Jesus' name.